disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Does that mean they call themselves Christians? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. What does he say? Have nothing to do with such people. I mean, that seems kind of harsh, but that's what he says. We all know that these people exist in the world, and it's sadly in some of our churches. In the past, we heard of these kind of people, but here of late, it seems it's hitting closer to home. I don't think it was mentioned at church, but there was a shank fellow that just swindled a lot of money out of charities. That hits closer to home. These kind of lovers of money, lovers of pleasures. He loved money. He swindled a lot out of charities. The cam fellow that had improper relations. You know, there's reasons he did that. That hits real close to home. We all know of Ravi Zacharias, and the list, everybody probably has those people that they know that didn't live a life they were supposed to. How are we going to go about protecting ourselves from becoming these kind of people? How do we keep ourselves in line? Matthew 24:3-13, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and when will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Jesus is warning us to be on our guard. Verse 5, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I don't know what you all think when you read that, but I don't like to hear that prediction. But the one thing that can give us a little bit, maybe put some adrenaline back into our walk, is verse 13, but the one who stands firm to the end, I love it, will be saved. I would say, praise the Lord. There is hope. There is a reason to push forward. How can we be one who stands firm to the end? Everybody, you know, if I ask the question, how do we stand firm to the end? Probably everybody's like, hold on a minute, let me Google it. And I think that would be some of our problem today. We go right to our phones. But kind of what got this all started, too, is there's a song that keeps running through my mind that gives us the answer. And it's something that hit me the other week, and the song just stuck with me. But these are some words to the song. It says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And probably if I was putting a title to the message, it would be the first line on the chorus is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What does it look like to turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. I had to think, this might be crude, but you all know me, I'm not sophisticated. We just had a rodeo last weekend, and what did you do when the calf roper was about to take off? Or the barrel racers come running in? Or the gate opened and the bull jumped out with a rider on? What were you doing? Or maybe when our, maybe this is more often, when our favorite football team is at a crucial point in the game, what happens when the ball is hiked? You know, you're like, 24, 48, hup, hup, you know, and it's like, oh, the ball's hiked. Then what happens? I think a lot of times you're, in all these situations, we're glued to whatever is taking place in front of us. We're focused on that. And you know, when that ball is hiked, it's not a good time if you're really with an avid football watcher or at a game. It's not at that time that the ball is hiked and the action starts that you bump them. Hey, did you hear that Biden was in Colombia on whenever? It's like, shh. I don't know what they say, but basically don't interrupt me. And I think that's where it's looking full in his wonderful face is when that's our main focus. Turn our eyes on Jesus, and it's almost like a mother and a child when a mother's trying to get a child to laugh. It's like you're right in the, oh, you tickle the chin or bump the cheek or whatever. Your focus is totally on what's in front of you. And then it says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. How many remember, right away my mind came to this, how many remember the eclipse a couple years back? Yeah, it's kind of a very neat thing. All of a sudden, the middle of the day, we were in Wagner, and the lights came on in Wagner. It got that dim. And when it said the things of earth will grow strangely dim, my mind went to that, like, it goes into the background. And that's how, if our focus is on Jesus, the worldly things fade away. It almost reminded me when it went dim like that, it's almost like if you were in a play, the lights went down and then the spotlight was going to be put on something. Yeah, if we focus on Jesus, the earthly things will fade into the background. I was also reminded of another song that played last week. I hopped in my truck that I hadn't driven for years, the old one. And of course, I was bored, and I thought, oh, I think there's old CDs in here. And so I grabbed a CD, and I thought, oh, I have an old one. And here are some of the words of a song that kind of, I think, expresses where we are at sometimes. The words, so complexity haunts me, for I am two men, entrenched in a battle I'll never win. My discipline fails me, my knowledge it fools me, but you are my shelter, the strength that I need. Another verse is, I'm learning to give up the rights to myself, the bits and the pieces I've gathered as wealth. It never compares to the joy that you bring me. The peace that you've shown me is the strength that I need. And I guess when I heard it, it was a song I liked. And when I heard it again, it's like, wow, those words. I think God had me grab that CD and listen to it. How often do we find ourselves feeling like life is complicated, that everything we do is not good enough? I think we all find ourselves there at times. And when we do, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. A few thoughts from the chapter we looked at on Tuesday morning in our men's class. I happened to think of it when we were in class, but sports is just one example of men getting the urgency right, but lacking clarity. Yes, urgent, but urgent about things that matter and outcomes that will last. Most of what men pursue provide neither. We are not acting like men until our urgency is engaged with full biblical clarity. I was like, wow. How many of us are acting like men? We are not acting like men until our urgency is engaged with full biblical clarity. He goes on to say, I want you to recognize the importance of the Bible as the ultimate guide and explanation of faith. You need to begin with the big picture of God's written revelation. I want to be as clear as possible as I possibly can be here. God's word doesn't change. The message doesn't shift. It can't be compromised in any way. It's where we stand firm. And then I'll ask the question, how can we be one that stands firm till the end? And I feel like by focusing intently on Jesus, we need to accept him. We need to embrace him. We need to keep our eyes on him. If we do, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I think there's a verse that I don't see. I know it was in here, but my computer was doing funny things. Well, anyway, King James Version, finally, I knew the... Yeah, the Bible, the passage isn't here. But anyway, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. My mind went to an experiment we did in school years ago. We got a white flour and put it in water that had food coloring in it. How many ever did that test? Okay. So I didn't know if it's old school and it's, you know, not no more, but I think you all remember what happened. The flour started turning the color of the water, the colored water. And I feel like it just shows us how we as humans are much the same way. What we fill our minds with is going to eventually show. The flour did not change color as soon as it was put in the colored water. It took some time. You could put a flour in the colored water for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half hour maybe, take it out and put it in fresh water, and it never would show what color that colored water was. And that's the same way with us. We can take things in that are not good for our spiritual and physical lives for short periods of time, and it won't be noticeable, but what we continue to fill ourselves with, it eventually shows. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14 say, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And scripture that for some reason didn't get printed was the scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I had to think, sometimes we feel like the Christian life can be tough. It's hard to do, but God just tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He helps us through whatever he gives us. He don't give us too much that we can't handle. He helps us along. John 10:10, the second part of the verse says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. We have a wonderful Father. He designed us. He created us. He knows what's best for us. May we allow God to use us to the fullest potential he created us for. Do we have a song? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, 276, if you all will stand. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again come to you and are grateful for what you do for us. Thank you for loving us. And Father, may we strive to keep our eyes on you. May you help us each day as we start the day to give it to you and to walk in your will. And I just pray this coming week that you would go with each one of us. Nobody knows what the future holds, but we know you hold the future, and may we have faith in you to just follow you the way we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.